the price, what it takes to win in college football's era of chaos. That was written by Armin Katayan and our friend on the phone right now, Mr. John Talty. And John, I want to start with this. When you start writing a book, because I believe this is a couple now for you, when you start writing a book, do you know exactly what it's going to be about and what the title will be? Or is this something that as you kind of go, it kind of, you know, listen, it's got its turns and kind of takes shape as you get into it a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a combination of the two. I think that we like the name The Price, I think, from the get-go, in part because, you know, it's a little bit of a play on the money that's, you know, really infiltrated the sport, you know, whether NIL, but also TV money. But we also, you know, just early on, we kind of knew that coaches were really going through it, especially the last couple of years, and that, you know, it was a bit of a nod to the price that those guys are paying to try to survive in this era, whether that's the insane recruiting hours, dealing with NIL demands, whatever it might be. So that we kind of knew, but a lot of the other stuff was really evolving and going with kind of what was happening. You know, we knew early on that we wanted to focus on a couple top programs and coaches, but, you know, where that journey was going to take us, I don't think we could have ever known. And just the way that things changed in the, you know, year and a half or so that Armin and I worked on this book, you know, from, you know, some of the stuff that we thought was a big deal in the beginning to by the end of the book felt, you know, almost small and cute. And so we had to be willing to adapt and evolve along the way to, you know, whether it's the lawsuits that popped up or just some of the, you know, interesting kind of changes to college football that we've seen in the last couple of years.
John, what was the most interesting thing that, or maybe surprising thing that you learned about how these programs that you and Armin followed, how they were handling the new NIL rules and legislation and just the way the game was going?
I think, to me, part of it is just how different all of them are, right? You know, I think that there are a lot of different strategies by top programs. And I think some of it, you know, to this point has been about comfort level and, you know, what you're willing to do and not willing to do. And I think we saw that, you know, early on, and when NIL really cranked up, was you saw some programs like Miami and Texas A&M and Tennessee that were very aggressive right off the bat. There were others like, say, in Alabama, Georgia, that were a bit more cautious and wanted to kind of learn a little bit about how it was going to impact their locker room and their culture before they went all in with NIL. And so, you know, some of the programs that we focused on, Alabama, Michigan, Texas A&M, Maryland, you know, all of them had different strategies. All of them also had different levels of finance available to them to do their NIL, which probably, you know, forced some different changes in strategy too. But I think it was just kind of interesting, you know, the different ways that you could have success, but do it very differently. And that's, you know, been one of the unique, I think, things that have come out of NIL and transfer portal and all those other things.
Hanging out with John Talty from CBS Sports. The book came out yesterday, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. John, one of the interesting stories, and I'm a Bama guy, man. Look, one of the interesting stories is the story of Tua Tagovailoa and Talia and how Tua says, hey, man, we're a Bama family. You're not going to go to Auburn. I don't care how much money they offer you. Take us inside that conversation and what you heard about it and how much of it was joking and how much of it was serious. And look, did Talia say, all right, well, that's fine. You owe me, you know, $1.5 million at this point.
Yeah, I think Tua deserves, like, I mean, maybe he already deserves a statue, but I think he deserves, you know, a little something extra for, you know, keeping him at Maryland and not letting him go to Auburn. You know, from my everything that I've been told and talked to people directly involved in that, like, it was serious. And I think part of it was because, you know, from everything I was told, you know, Talia did not want to leave Maryland. He's been very happy. He was very happy at Maryland, was comfortable at Maryland. I think it was a good place for him to, you know, get out of his brother's shadow and, you know, be able to grow as a person. But, you know, this is part of the uniqueness of this current world where, you know, you can have a big offer elsewhere and, you know, maybe that could mean a great deal to your family. And that was, I think, part of the situation with Talia there. And so, you know, Maryland's just trying to do everything they can to keep the kid. You know, Mike Loxley tells me the story of Talia coming into his office and just be like, coach, is there anything you can do for me? Like, I've got this huge offer. I'm kind of getting pressure to take it. Is there any way you can get me some more money that I can stay here? And he was really going through it. And it was, you know, I think a real human moment of him struggling with what to do. And, you know, eventually, you know, Mike Locksley, who coached Tua at Alabama, as you know, was like, all right, I think I need to bring in the big guns here. I need to bring in Tua. And, you know, whether Tua chipped in any money, you know, heard some different things there. I'm not quite sure on that one, but I think he had a heart to heart conversation with his brother. And, you know, I think it's like, hey, there's a legacy here. And, you know, you going to Auburn for 1 year, you know, is that really worth it? Is that, you know, that's not really who we are. And the kind of the famous line that you mentioned is, you know, we're an Alabama family and, you know, they have an incredible legacy in the state of Alabama. And I think he realized that, you know, his little brother going to Auburn for 1 year in which they probably weren't going to be that great anyway, was not really worth it, even if it was a substantial amount of money that they were offering.
Well, one guy that's kind of been in the middle of college football for the last few years is what some would call super agent Jimmy Sexton. And I thought it was interesting stuff. He's obviously friends with Nick Saban and had some stuff to say about Saban. But the one about Lane Kiffin is kind of had ripples everywhere. Talk about what Sexton told you guys that that Saban said to him about Lane Kiffin and hiring him.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Sexton, to me, the way I've kind of described him is he's like the Wizard of Oz, except he actually has the power. And he's just this guy who likes to be in the shadows, who, you know, doesn't like to really be very front-facing, very hard, you know, to pin down. He's kind of just in the shadows. And, you know, we got lucky that, you know, my co-author, Armin Katayan, you know, used to be a 60 Minutes correspondent. And he was actually working on a 60 Minutes profile on Jimmy Sexton around the time of, you know, when Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin were together at Alabama. And so he had this kind of treasure trove of stuff that had never been, you know, seen or published anywhere that he was never going to use if he and I didn't do this book together. But, you know, he was there for one of the ones where, you know, Lane calls Jimmy Sexton, and I think it's 2015 where Alabama is about to win a national championship and he sees head coaching jobs starting to open up, and he calls Jimmy and tells him to, you know, try to get him in the mix. And, you know, Armin was there to witness Jimmy just screaming at Lane Kiffin on the phone and using some words we can't say on radio here. And in part telling him, like, go win the game. Winning coaches get jobs. Losing coaches don't. Like, stop worrying about other jobs and just go and win the game. And so that was a fun moment for us. And I think, you know, why we wanted to put some of that stuff in the book is just to show what Jimmy Sexton has to deal with, right? You know, here you have Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban, two of his most prominent clients, and he's got to protect both of their interests, right? And their interests at times were not aligned. And it's just a very challenging thing to go through, but Jimmy's the best at handling those situations. And I think for fans of college football, the chapter on Jimmy Sexton will be enlightening, and I think it will also make you just appreciate just how good this guy is at his job.
Yeah. The book was out yesterday, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. John, look, man, congratulations on the book. It's a fascinating read, according to a bunch of people. I saw you pour a glass of Pappy last night. Man, hopefully, look, maybe sometime we can share one of those together. You can let me borrow one.
Listen, I'd love to. It's funny, I haven't I've only drank that. You know, it's the first time I've drank it in 2 years. The last time I drank it was for the last book I wrote. So, you know, maybe I need to write another book, but I also, for you, I'd be willing to tap into it a little bit earlier. So you let me know.
My man, that's nice. John Talty, man. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Appreciate you guys. All right.